Good Friday morning. This episode of the Everything is Marketing podcast brought to you by the M Live Media Group. You can get all of these podcasts at mlivemediagroup.com, or more importantly, subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, because that is the only way that the podcast gets to bubble up in the universe and other people get to find it, unless you want to share it, which I highly encourage as well. Either one of those things would be awesome. It is an amazing Friday. I'm going to be in the office for a little bit and then heading out to Chicago to see Chris Hardwick and to see my brother's son for the very first time. So it's going to be an exciting weekend. I hope you enjoy episode 28 of the Everything is Marketing podcast. Have an awesome Friday.
Marketers ruin everything.
Welcome to the Everything is Marketing podcast.
What I don't want to do is to pretend this is show number one.
What would the hero of your life's movie do right now? Do that. Do those things.
So first, want to shout out to Two Eagles Marcus, who called this morning and said, hey, am I going to get one of these when I come into my office this morning? Because it's been very fun to come into the office and have a new podcast every single day. So shout out to him. And here is your new podcast. A couple things happened last night that I want to talk about. One is YouTube. Digiday did an article about YouTube's subscription service, and they're trying to get partners to buy into this idea that you will pay for a subscription for content that you find on YouTube. And not surprisingly, it's not really taking off as fast as they wanted to. And one of the reasons it's not really taking off as fast as they wanted to is it's really, really hard to get the toothpaste back in the tube. It's hard to explain to people that we've watched since 2006 when Google bought YouTube, and prior to that, but that's really when it took off, that we've been watching video after video after video. There's 1 billion with a B, I should say, unique users using that service on a monthly basis. And when you're dealing with those sorts of numbers and it's a product that fails to turn a profit, that obviously means your model is broken. But the customers don't know, and the customers don't care that your model is broken. So when you're trying to convert from the free subscription to a paid subscription, you're going to have some difficulty. And as they're having difficulty even getting partners to sign onto it, I think you're going to have a big difficulty getting consumers to sign onto it. These are consumers that really won't pay for music services like Spotify, Pandora, and Beats. They'd rather steal the music off YouTube and then sit through an ad. And so when you've been sitting through ads, that's the other thing. If you've been sitting through ads on YouTube, and you can find that pretty frustrating from time to time. If you sit through those ads and then they turn around and go, oh, well, you know, we made you sit through those ads, but now we want you to pay a subscription in order to support the service, that's going to be a hard mountain to climb. It's like the Hulu model. You go to Hulu regular, right, the free service, and there are ads on it, and you get a certain number of things that you can watch. And then you upgrade to Hulu Plus, and oh, well, they don't charge enough for Hulu Plus, so there's still ads on Hulu Plus. So you're paying for a TV subscription to get the content that you want when you want it, but you have to sit through ads, which can be mind-numbingly frustrating. I was talking about this yesterday in my class at Aquinas, that television is going through this revolution, that it'll be really interesting to see how they come out on the other side, because these sorts of platforms, YouTube struggles, and YouTube has the most amount of people watching video than any other platform. I mean, on an average nightly or daily basis, they have more 18 to 34-year-olds using the platform than any cable network could care to even dream up. And when you can't make that into a profitable margin or a profitable business, you've got to figure something else out. I'm just not sure subscription services are going to be that. Also, last night was very fun to see The Dress explode. And if you were the three people on earth that didn't see The Dress, there was a photo floating around the internet that was showing a dress. And you either saw it as black and blue, as I did, or white and gold, as my wife did. And it got into a very fun, heated argument about that she just didn't believe that I was seeing a completely different color. So on Twitter, it started to explode and was shared everywhere online, and people trying to debate whether it's blue or black or if it's white or gold or whatever it is. The science to it, I ended up posting last night after I watched a couple hundred tweets fly by. The science of it is this. We have far less blue cones in our eyes than we do red and green. And so we see softer colors more than we see cooler, softer or hotter than we do cooler. You can read the explanation on my Twitter account at Polymath and Vine. So the idea is that we have smaller or less blue cones to pick up the cooler colors. So it's very possible that you see white and gold because your eyes are just calibrated a different way. It can also be the screen that you're using. If you're using your tablet or you're using your iPhone or you're using your Android, the screen can adjust the colors in a way that makes you see it white and gold. But if you go to, and this is what I liked about the explanation, which is why I posted it, if you go to the store's website where the dress is housed, it is blue and black. If you take that photo and you put it into Photoshop and try and read the RGB colors, it is clearly blue and black. So the actual scientific answer, regardless of what your eyes see, is blue and black, which raises a very fun social experiment, is how much should you trust your eyes if they're totally wrong, in the case of my lovely wife who saw it as white and gold. And one last thing, as a father of a three-year-old, you probably can guess I've seen Frozen about 657 million times. And yesterday when YouTube said, hey, it's time for Frozen Fever, I got really excited to see that, oh, there's another thing that we can go see in the movie theater, until I realized what they were doing. And if you have not seen it, it's trending on Facebook right now, but they're releasing a short, which I'm sure is going to be 10 or 15 minutes long, that you can only see on the front of the live-action remake of Cinderella, which is a brilliant marketing ploy on behalf of the folks at Disney, because they're very good at that. However, as a father of a three-year-old, I'm just doubtful that my daughter's going to sit through the Cinderella part that is not Frozen. So I find it to be holistically irritating, just because I know what this means for me. But from a marketing perspective, it is genius to leverage your biggest brand right now to get people to go check out a movie they may or may not check out, because it's a remake. It's a story everybody knows. And if you don't watch Downton Abbey, you have no idea likely who the Cinderella star is going to be. So you might not be super fired up to go check it out. A brilliant ploy by Disney, which is what they do very, very well. They're whatever you want to think about them as far as media moguls, they're doing some really, really profound stuff. And my hope is that as successful as Frozen was, will be the same level of success that you see when Star Wars comes out this December. Because that's, for me, as an actual adult male who grew up with the Star Wars franchise, that's going to be the big test. I haven't been too holistically annoyed with what happened with the Marvel properties and the way that Disney's been handling him. I think it's been very, very good. But as a father of a three-year-old, I'm a bit annoyed that I have to go pay to go see a movie that likely my daughter will walk out of after 6 minutes just to see the short for Frozen that she clearly will not let me not take her to. So on that note, I will let you go as I get ready to head off to Chicago for the day. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday. Jeff Leach and I, you can follow him on Twitter at the Jeff Leach. We have a podcast we're going to do next week talking about how you figure out what traffic coming to your website is real and what traffic coming to your website is actually bot filled, meaning robots are coming to your site, because obviously you can't sell to robots yet. It's not legal. So we want to talk to humans. And how can you figure out the traffic from human to robot traffic? We'll talk about that next week and some other stuff. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk soon. It's the Everything is Marketing podcast. My name is Eric Holcren.